Jonah chapter number 1. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sakes this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let's pray, and we'll get into the lesson this morning. Lord, I do thank you for this opportunity that you've given us. Lord, I want to pray for our preacher this morning. Lord, I pray that you just help him and Mrs. Ross, help him have an enjoyable time away. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless him and help him. Thank you so much for our pastor and just his vision and the stand he takes, Lord, and just the heart that he has for our church here. Father, I pray that you just help all the services that will go on here today. Lord, I just pray that you be glorified. Lord, I pray that we would be spirit-filled people. And Lord, I pray that you just help the Sunday school lesson this morning. Help us as we look at a few interesting things, some facts, and some truths from your word, Lord. And I pray that we would apply it to our lives. We give you praise and glory for everything that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we talked about Jonah. We were talking about how it's important as Christians to be bold. And how it was going to be tough for, based upon who the Assyrians were, for Jonah to go to the Assyrians. And we covered that, and we basically just kind of talked about the first couple verses in that. So today we're going to talk about from 3 down pretty much to the end of the chapter. And what I want to really emphasize today is, what is the cost of not doing what God wants us to do? What is the cost of that? What does it cost a person? I mean, you know, what will it cost you if you don't do what God wants you to do? If I don't do what God's will for my life is, what does it cost us? All right, and so that's kind of the theme, the thought that we're going to kind of look at this morning. Brother Ali brought up an interesting point last week when we was talking about this. You know, I talked about, you know, well, some people say, well, Jonah just didn't love people. Jonah just hated people. And he said something that was very interesting, and I had honestly never really thought about it. You know, look down in verse, and this doesn't have a whole lot to do with the cost part, but look down in verse number 11. The Bible says, Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Then listen to what Jonah said here. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Now, some people say, well, Jonah didn't have any compassion for people. Well, I beg to differ right here, because he said, okay, throw me out. I know if you throw me out of this boat, you'll all be saved. And he's basically sacrificing himself for the lives of these mariners, all right? And to me, it's like, wow, I appreciate you saying that to me, because I've never thought about that. But Jonah did. Jonah didn't know that there was a, what we would say, a whale in that sea waiting for him. As far as Jonah knew, he was in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, and he was about to die. But it was interesting, if you look, you know, they didn't want to. These guys did not want to do this. Because the Bible says in verse 13, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them." And then they apologized. They basically said, "Lord, forgive us for what we're about to do." And then they chucked him overboard. So I appreciate him saying that, because that's interesting. You know, as a, you know, sometimes we look at Jonah as like, man, he just didn't like those people. Well, not necessarily. I mean, Mev, he probably didn't like them. They were ruthless, brutal people. But at the same time, it wasn't that he was completely uncompassionate. And so that's just a thought that I did want to bring to you. But what is the cost of not doing what God wants? What's the cost of it? Does it, Brother Chad, and we get this a lot from the young people, you know, they have in their mind that they look at people, well, does it really cost to go out and do what you want? Absolutely. Absolutely. What is the cost of not doing what God wants? First thing we see here, it costs you the presence of the Lord. It costs the presence of the Lord. Verse number three. "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Verse number 10. "Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." Now, there's two things here. You're going to say, Brother Chad, you can't. God is omnipotent. God is everywhere all the time. You can't leave the presence of the Lord. That is true in a way. All right, let's flip over to Psalms chapter 139. Psalms chapter 139. Psalms chapter 139. I love this chapter. Probably my favorite psalm. Psalms chapter 139, verse number 7. Psalms 139, verse 7, the Bible says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea," that's where Jonah was headed, right there, "even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Isn't that interesting? David wrote this, but that sounds so much like what happened to Jonah. God's presence was with him in the midst of that sea, and God held him in his hand. God led him where he wanted to lead him. All right, verse 11, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." So, you know, I understand the whole thought of, you know, you can't ever escape the presence of the Lord. Once you're a Christian, and really anybody, you cannot escape the presence of the Lord. It's impossible. But there's also the fact that God can be everywhere all the time. I'm not saying that. I don't know exactly the words to explain this. But the power of God can leave you as a Christian. And you can be, yeah, you can be God's watches over his children, but God's favor, maybe that's what we should get, God's favor is not on you. Let's go to 1 Samuel. That's where I was at earlier. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. I couldn't find exactly the verse, but this will work. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we have here the story of where Saul, remember the story where Saul is waiting on Samuel to come to make sacrifices, and he basically gets very impatient, so he decides that he's going to make sacrifices himself, which is against what God told him to do. He's disobeying God here. And in verse 34, look at this, and this is the man of God interacting with the king, King Saul. "Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to Saul, to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." That's an amazing thing. And if you'll go back in the chapters to come, you will see God had his hand on King Saul. God blessed King Saul. God helped him win the battles that he was supposed to win. And I think that was the same way God was with Jonah. God said, all right, I've got my power on you. Did you notice? I thought this was amazing. When they asked him in verse number 9 where he's from, what he does, or whatever, and he says unto them, this is all he says, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. That's all he said. Look what the reaction was in verse number 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? I still think this man had the power of God on his life. I don't know what Jonah, what he did before this. The Bible says he went down to Joppa. I've read that he lived in a city called Gath Hepher. That's what it was called. It's 3 miles northeast of Nazareth. So he had to go southwest a little bit to get to the city of Joppa. But you know, when he got on this boat, he had only, if I can read my map right, he didn't have a really long trip to go from where he lived to Nineveh. But then when he went from where he lived down to Joppa, do you know where Tarshish is? Tarshish, okay, if you got the whole Mediterranean Sea, Joppa is on one end of the Mediterranean Sea. Tarshish is the very, from what I can tell, the last major port west on the Mediterranean Sea. He was going from one end all the way to the other. If you read about Solomon sent ships to Tarshish because that was like the foreign land, okay? It was part of Spain. It was the very southern tip of Spain is where Tarshish was. So he was like, I'm getting way out of here. But I think when I go back to what I was talking about, he cost them the presence of the Lord. I think God took his hand and said, all right, you know what you're going to do? You could go to Nineveh, and you don't have to go through what you're about to go through. But God, you know, yeah, it did cost him the power of God in some areas of his life. But you know, folks, yes, it did cost him the presence of the Lord in the sense of the power. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But on the other hand, God never left him. So when we go out and you sin and you do what's wrong, there is God's, not that God's going to leave you, but his power will leave you. And you got to realize that, because a Christian without the power of God, you know, what are you going to do with your life? Nothing. So he cost Jonah the presence of the Lord. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 33. Exodus chapter number 33. Verse number 12. Exodus 33, verse 12. And the Bible says, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Isn't it a blessing that when God sends you someplace, this is exactly the same thing that Jonah is going through. Moses is going through the same thing right here that Jonah just went through. God's sending him someplace. And Moses says here, he says, bring... See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And he's like, God, you haven't even told me who you're sending with me to help me. And then the Bible says, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. God doesn't forget your name. God doesn't forget, doesn't matter what you're going through in life. God hasn't forgot you. It may seem like you're in the belly of the well, okay? But God has not forgotten you. The Bible says in verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, and that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Verse 14, this is God speaking, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And then Moses says, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And you know, I want that to be today when I stand behind this pulpit, I want that to be what I say. God, if you're not going to go with me, I don't want to go. You know, it doesn't matter where you're going in life or what you're doing. God, if you're not going with me, I don't want to go. But I don't think that's what Jonah was at when God told him to go to Nineveh. I don't think God was like, you go to Nineveh and I'm staying here. No, he didn't say that. So God had to use his power later on in Jonah's life to bring him back to repentance. So The cost of not doing what God wants, it costs you sometimes the power of God, the presence, the very close presence of God. All right? The second thing it costs the fair. It costs the fair. Now I want you to look in verse number 3. A fair is basically the amount that it would bend to go on this boat. Verse number 3, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, this cost Jonah something. We don't have any record of what it cost Jonah. But to run away from what God wanted him to do cost Jonah something. And you know, folks, when we run away from what God wants us to do, it will cost us. This is a very material thing is what I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about the power of God in your life. I'm talking about literally costing you something. You know, you see people all the time that make decisions, and because of the decisions they've made, they have to pay a price materially for that decision that they've made. You know, it's people... I don't know. There's all kinds of illustrations. People do stupid stuff, and you know. I saw a sign. You see all the buzz driving. Buzz driving is broke driving or something like that. And you know, I think I saw a sign for one of the billboards I saw. It was $10,000. $10,000. You know, sin costs. Sin has a material price tag on it, and it has it for the child of God. But you know what else? This sin that Jonah didn't just have a material price tag for Jonah. Let's look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Look at this. And cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. If you know anything about the ships of Tarshish, these weren't little rowboats that they were putting along with, you know, a little 9-horse outboard motor. Okay? These were sea ships. These were ships designed for the sea. These were trade ships. This wasn't just, for lack of a better term, this wasn't, you know, the boat that Peter and John and all the disciples were, okay, their fishing boat. This was not that type of boat. This was a freight liner, okay? This was carrying wares. This was carrying goods. There was thousands and thousands of what we would say dollars of goods on this boat. And you know what they had to do? They threw them all over. And you know, sin costs. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, sin costs. But sometimes as a Christian, when we don't, you know, if I don't go witness to somebody and then they go make a bad decision, they get hammered with it. But ultimately, is it my fault? Because I didn't tell them about Jesus and they didn't get saved? I don't know. Something to think about. So it costs. It costs. Romans 6:23. Everybody knows that. For the what? Wages of sin is death. Sin has a price tag. It doesn't matter if you're saved, if you're lost. Sin always carries a price tag. For the wages of sin is death. And you know, every time you sin, something dies. I've heard that. It's a true statement. Every time you sin, something dies. What dies? I don't know. It could be the potential that you could have had. Something died. Something just died. So every time I think a wrong thought, something died. What was it? I don't know. I may never see it because it's dead now. What do you do with dead things? You bury them. They're out of sight. So I may never see what God could have had for me because of one thing that I did, one thing that I said, one thing that I looked at. Something dies. Your potential dies. Something. So every time you sin, something dies. They cost the fare. Jonah had to pay something out of his pocket to flee from the presence of God. It cost the fare. Thirdly, I want to say this. It cost time. It cost time. Now, I don't know. I don't have exact miles, and I probably should have looked up the miles. If you got a Scofield Bible, you can flip back the first map, plate 1. It's like A2. I know it's kind of weird I told you all that, but it's like the first section there. And if you look at the diagram, 1 inch is 640 miles. Okay, so I got my little architectural ruler out, and I measured it. and I came up with 2,720 miles from Tarshish to Nineveh. Okay? That's just what? It's just rough, okay? Just give me a break on that. But from Jerusalem, which he didn't live in Jerusalem, he lived in Gath Hefer, but from Jerusalem to Nineveh, it was only like 640 miles. Okay? Still a long trip, all right? Still a long trip. But you know what it cost him? It cost him time. Time, folks, is the one thing that God gives you that can never be replenished. Never. Absolutely never. Yesterday is yesterday, and I can never make yesterday today, and I can never make yesterday tomorrow. And you know what? I wonder how many people... So let's say Jonah spent one day going from Gath Hefer to Joppa. One day. He spent one day in Joppa looking for a boat. 2 days. He spent one day on the ship because most boats, by the time he would have got there, they're probably not going to get out of port. 3 days. Okay? Let's say he got 2 days out on the water. 5 days. They threw him overboard. And how many days did he spend in the belly of a whale? 3 days. So, Brother Chad, why do you think they got 2 days out in the water? Okay, here's my reasoning. He spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, right? That was his return boat back to where he was supposed to be. So I think they went out 2 or 3 days. They threw him overboard. God had his boat waiting there for him. His boat swallowed him and took him all the way back where he was supposed to be and spit him out on dry ground. I don't think, you know, God said, well, you're just going to have to walk. I think God used creation to expedite his servant where he needed to be. You say, Brother Chad, that's not possible. You can't spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. You're wrong. Yes, sir. You can. All right, I just read a story in the study for this. When they used to use harpoons, you know, Moby Dick, the whole thing. All right. They had two boats that went out, and they harpooned this sperm whale. And this sperm whale destroyed one of the boats, and they didn't find any survivors. No, they found one survivor. They found one survivor. They didn't find any other survivors. And they eventually ended up getting this sperm whale, all right? So they're cutting all of the stuff off the sperm whale. They did this usually in the water, okay, because they're too big to get up. Not like today's boats, but they did it all in the water. So they had boats around these whales, and they were cutting these whales up. And it took them, I think it said it took them 2 days to cut this whale up, all right? And they finally got all the way down to the carcass, and they were going to pull the stomach up. I think there's parts of the stomach on a whale I think they keep. So they were pulling the stomach up, and they noticed that the stomach was moving. So they cut the stomach open, and one of the sailors was in the stomach. And the doctor said he didn't pass out from lack of oxygen. Well, think about we say a whale. If you look in the Greek and the Hebrew, that word great fish, which the term the Bible uses, actually, I think the Bible says the word is actual sea monster. So I don't know what it was. We always just say whale, okay? And it very well could have been a whale. But you know what a whale is? Is it a fish? Technically, no. It's a mammal. So I don't know what it was. It could have been a whale. It could have been a very special creature God had just for Jonah. But if you say a whale, that's what most people mentally think of, is Jonah and the whale, right? Okay. But there are mammals. And what do mammals breathe? Air. Oxygen. Okay. But anyway, that guy was in that stomach. And they basically said he had passed out. If he would have died, it would have been from starvation, not from lack of oxygen, if he would have died. So they pulled him out. And this is kind of the weird thing. And I thought about this when Jonah went to Nineveh. They said because of the stomach acid, he was bleached, completely white. They said he looked like a piece of paper, all right? Now, can you imagine, you know, you're sitting in Nineveh at the gate, all right? And you see this dude walk into town, okay? And I don't know if Jonah had a time to take a bath, all right? He could have smelled like, you know, serious acid reflux, okay? I mean, the worst belts that you could ever think of. I mean, he probably smelled like that. He may have seaweed all over him, and he is as white. I mean, not normal white, All right. And remember, he's going to the Assyrians, which are darker complected people anyway. So you get this pasty white guy coming in, you know, after all Jonah's been through, you know, I'm sure his eyes are just like terrified. Okay. And he walks into town and then, of course, you know, he only has like an eight word message, you know, in however many days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Yeah. And they're like, okay, yeah, let's repent. That's a good idea. All right. But I don't know. But it is possible. It is very, it's scientifically possible. If it was a whale, he could have easily. And if even if it science didn't prove it, my God's big enough. If God said it, I believe it. All right. But science does kind of back that up. But I want to say 5 days. Okay. Did I say five? 5 days. Okay. Wonder how many people in Nineveh died in 5 days. That if he would have got there when God told him to get there, and that's not including the trip. Remember, I said it was 600 some miles from where he was. That's the nearest land to Nineveh. So he still, that was 5 days plus however many days it took him to travel that. How many people died? How many people, even though, yeah, Jonah eventually went and did what God told him to do, how many people's blood did Jonah have to stand before God for? You know, as Americans, we are time wasters. Very much time wasters. I'm a time waster sometimes. Okay? I'm very busy most of the time, but sometimes it's just Hollywood has made us a time waster. I cannot believe how many movies. I'd like to know a number of movies that they've got out now. But you think about movies. There was a series on, oh shoot, that's probably when I was in high school. And the main reason I quit watching the series, and it was pretty good, the first one or two, it's kind of an action type thing, and I like that type of stuff. But basically, they went through and they had all the whole season was split into 1 hour segments. Okay, so, and basically they said, all right, this is a day, that all this stuff takes place in a day. All right, that was even the commentary at the beginning. This stuff all takes place in a day. All right, 24. Okay, that's what it was. And they was like, and I was watching it, and then I got kind of convicted. I was like, you know, if I watch this whole season, think about this, folks. And they came out with like 6-7 seasons of it. This is crazy if you think about it, Brother Tom. If I watch this whole season, one day of my life was sit in front of a TV. One day that I'll never get back. I didn't make any type of profit. I didn't do anything for God. I didn't affect my family in any way. One whole day of my life is gone because of a stupid TV series. But you think about it, the average Hollywood movie. 2 hours? Easy, 2 hours. 2 hours? So 1/12 of your day was gone. All right? Now, I'm not completely against, well, yes, I am. I'm pretty much completely against TV anymore. I mean, I don't really see a whole lot of good to it. I watch it every once in a while, but honestly, when's the last time a month ago, I may have sat down and watched a movie. And if you watch stuff, I mean, you know, that's between you and God. I'm not God here, and I'm not going to tell you what you can and cannot watch, but I think the Holy Spirit will. But, you know, you sit in front of a TV and you watch people. The last statistic I heard was young people spend almost 6 hours a day in front of either a TV or a video game system. 6 hours a day. In 4 days, they've sat in front of the TV one day of that. Well, bless God, they shouldn't do that. Well, what about our phones that we carry around? How much time do people spend on Facebook? Twitter, Instagram. I'm guilty of this one. Craigslist, Gov Deals. All right, I'm guilty. All right, I'm a tool junkie. Okay, I get on there and I'm always looking for great deals on tools. All right, but you know, if I'm not careful, I can spend a lot of time on there that I should be doing something else. I can spend, and what's bad is, I got kids that are growing up that want daddy to play with them. And you can very easily pick up that phone and all you do is flip through stuff. And you can spend an hour when I could spend an hour with those kids. Think about it. You know, when I sit in front of a TV, I know how I am with a TV. When I sit in front of a TV, my kids were watching a little, how many's ever seen the Einsteins? The little, it's like a little kids, it's a developmental kids show. I don't know what it is, but it's really pretty harmless. It's got like shapes and they teach them shapes and colors. So I'm sitting there the other day with the kids, you know. And I'm sure Rachel asked me something. You know, and I'm watching, you know, little clown puppets, you know. Really? Okay. But I know that's why I am with TV. So anything else that goes on, it's like zoned out. That's why I have to be very careful with watching TV. Okay. But it could be a host of other things. It could be whatever you look at, are you producing anything in that time? Or is it a waste of time? You know, Jonah wasted a lot of time here. And this can be very practical. I'm not just talking about what you can do for God, but this does apply to what we can do for God. You know, I had some guys come out, Brother Wilford, Brother Weddle, and Brother Dave Liffitt came out yesterday and went visiting with me. You know, that was profitable time. But there's a lot of people that probably slept in on Saturday morning and, you know, whatever. So just think about that. I know nobody likes to hear all that stuff, but think about that stuff. It's good for us. It's good for me. What's in my life that's a time waste? Brother Tom knows I love to deer hunt. Man, if I had one hobby, I just love blowing deer away. I mean, it's just, it's really fun. I don't know why I like it so much, but I do. But you know, if I'm not careful, I get so focused on it. And you know, it's easy to spend 4 hours in the tree stand. And it's not so bad if I actually kill something. But you know what's terrible is I get out and I didn't even see anything. And it's like, man, I just wasted 4 hours of my life. That's why I just like kind of, I'm an opportunistic hunter, all right? The other day I was at my mom and dad's house and eating Sunday lunch. Deer comes running across the pasture. So I went out, got the old smoke stick and blew it away. You know, didn't have to wait any in the tree stand. That's a blessing, all right? But I don't want to be a time waster because I've only got so much time and you've only got so much time. And I'm not trying to be rude here, but well, everybody in here, except for maybe Anthony, you've got less time than I do statistically. I'm about the youngest one in here. My wife's even older than I am. She robbed the cradle. No, I'm kidding. But statistically, you've got less time than I do. What are you going to do with it? I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be brash, but what am I going to do with the time I got left? Are you going to make it count for God, or are we just going to waste it? There was some time here. So it costs Jonah the presence or the power of the Lord. It cost him a price, a fare. And it cost him his time. Let's just be careful about these things. I think all of us want to serve God and want to do what's right. But if we're not careful, we lose the power of God in our life, or we lose things that we should have been able to keep, or we lose time that we should have given to a good thing. So just some thoughts from the book of Jonah. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for helping us this morning. I pray, Lord, this is just a thought-provoking lesson. And, Lord, I pray that you just help us the rest of the morning. I pray that you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.